unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up is always 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. And, of course, if you want to send in your voicemail messages, you can always go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. I know the Pittsburgh Steelers played the game Monday night. I know they beat the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football. I know that the NFL is continuing to unfold before our very eyes with twists and turns along the way that obviously are worthy of our discussion. But I'm going to start off today's show with the NBA because my Knicks, my New York Knicks, are in the Cup Finals, okay? The Emirates Cup Finals, okay? In Las Vegas tonight, okay, against the San Antonio Spurs. Two teams with identical records. Both of them are 18-7 on the season. The Knicks are the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference as we speak. The Spurs are the number 4 seed in the Western Conference. But the Emirates NBA Cup Championship game is tonight with the Knicks going up against the San Antonio Spurs. And I, for one, cannot wait to see this game. Let me tell you something right now. There's a couple of ways to look at this stuff. See, when I think about the San Antonio Spurs, I don't think they're coming. I think they've arrived. I think when you look at this cat, Victor Wembanyama, 7'5", shot blocker extraordinaire, erases everything, every damn thing at the rim. He's on a minutes restrictions tonight, courtesy of the calf strain that forced him to miss 12 games before he came out and played over the weekend. But my mentality when it comes to Victor Wembanyama is this. If he's healthy, he's easily the defensive player of the year. Easily the defensive player of the year. All right? Because he erases everything. But on top of that all, he'd probably be a leading candidate for league MVP honors because the brother can play. Got a handle at 7 feet. I want to remind you, 7'5". The brother's got a handle. He's got a J. He can pull up from mid-range. He can pull up from three. Okay, that's who this kid is. All right? And for years, we talked about how we wanted to see him against Chet Holmgren. Obviously, Victor Wembanyama is next level, but Chet Holmgren is no joke, and neither are the Oklahoma City Thunder, who stands in everybody's way. And then what? Think about this. We heard noise for so long about how Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren didn't necessarily get along when they played against one another as high school players, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the reality. I hope that's the storyline. I hope it's true. Because I'm looking at a San Antonio Spurs team that went up against OKC, the reigning defending NBA champion, OKC Thunder, who's on a 16-game winning streak, who is an NBA best 24-1 on the season, and the moment Victor Wembanyama returns, they beat Oklahoma City. So to me, I look at the Spurs not as a team that's up and coming. I look at the Spurs as a team that's letting you know they've arrived. De'Aaron Fox is no joke. Devin Vassell is no joke. Stephon Castle is no joke. This rookie, Dylan Harper, he's no joke. They got like 8 dudes averaging in double figures. 8 dudes averaging in double figures and playing at least 20 minutes a night. Spurs are here. And they're going to have something to say about whatever level of supremacy exists within the Western Conference before all is said and done. Make no mistake about it. And they clearly ain't scared of OKC. So we got to take all of those things into consideration. But all of those reasons are reasons I consider this a bigger game for the Knicks. Because when I look at the New York Knicks right now, I'm trying to figure out how the hell you going to win this game. Per player on a winning team, $318,560. Players earn $212,000 each for just reaching the finals. Now it's an extra $318,560. That ain't nothing to sniff at, even for millionaires, if I'm being real with you about it. So, yeah, the money's an incentive and what have you. But the NBA Cup has been a success. No doubt about that. There were people who doubted whether or not it ever would be. Not anymore. It matters. People love it. We gravitate to it. We watch it. I was in Vegas over the last 2 years for the NBA Cup. Didn't have to go there this year. But I got to tell you something right now. When I look at Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks, I want to see how you do against Wembanyama. I want to see how you fare against the Spurs, because if you're Karl Anthony Towns averaging 22 a game, if you're Jalen Brunson averaging 28 a game, if you're Mikal Bridges or OG Anunoby shooting better than 40% from three-point range on the season, who knows what the New York Knicks are going to do? And then I got to take other things into consideration. Okay? I got to look at the New York Knicks, and I got to say, wait a minute. They are allowing the fourth fewest, they're like fourth in terms of fewest points allowed this season at 112. You got Anunoby and Bridges controlling the perimeter defensively. I don't much consider Karl Anthony Towns an anchor inside as it pertains to rebounds or anything like that, but I know he can score. And we got to see what De'Aaron Fox is going to do, what Stephon Castle is going to do, what Dylan Harper, unusually poised for a rookie, by the way, what's he going to do? Ron Harper's son. Okay? I like what I'm seeing from these Spurs. I want to see tonight if I like what I'm seeing from the New York Knicks. Because remember, at the beginning of the season, I got the New York Knicks coming out of the East, representing the East of the NBA Finals. Then I saw these Detroit Pistons, and I said, wait a minute, Bickerstaff staff and those boys ain't playing. I got to look at this for what it is and say to myself, what the hell is going on? I got to check this out. I got to see what's up. I got to see what my Knicks do against these brothers. That's where I'm at with it. If I'm being right, if I'm being honest. So all of those things are things to consider right here as we're talking about it. This is the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Plus, you can send in your voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. Now, let me transition to football, because a lot is being made about what happened last night with the Pittsburgh Steelers and then pretty much shellacking the Miami Dolphins. They were up 28-3. The game wasn't as close as the final score would indicate. Miami got trounced. It's hard for me to make a big deal out of this because it was Monday Night Football. It was in Pittsburgh, all right, where they won 23 straight at home on Monday Night Football. Credit to Mike Tomlin and them. Their last loss there on Monday Night Football was 1991. That's when Bill Cowher was coaching them. Here's my issue when I'm thinking about the Pittsburgh Steelers and what transpired last night. I can't make much of it, ladies and gentlemen. Here's why. Y'all do understand that Miami Dolphins don't win in inclement weather, right? You understand they've lost their last 14 straight games when the weather is 40 degrees or lower? You have any idea how pathetic that is? You're an NFL team, and you can't win when it's cold. You can't win when it's cold. That's the Miami Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa. That's the Miami Dolphins with Mike McDaniels. Now, we can have a discussion as to whether or not this latest surge by the Miami Dolphins towards relevancy, because they went in the game last night having an outside shot and making the playoffs. We can have a discussion as to whether or not Mike McDaniels is the right coach and Tua Tagovailoa is the right quarterback for the franchise. I say no. I think that Mike McDaniels definitely knows what he's doing as a coach, but I view him more as an offensive coordinator than a coach. To be a leader of men, to galvanize troops and to maximize whatever potential exists inside of them, no matter what the hell the circumstances are, I don't view Mike McDaniel as being that coach. And when it comes to Tua Tagovailoa, what am I supposed to say? Look at that stat right there. Mike McDaniel versus teams over 500, his record is 4-16. He's winning 25% of his games. Versus teams under 500, he's 30-15, winning nearly 70% of his games. What's there to say? I don't view this team the way people want me to when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. I think they need a new coach. I think they need a new quarterback. I can't have any faith in the football team. There's no excuse for an NFL team to be winless in temperatures under 40 degrees. Tua is 0-6. Every time you look at them and they're in bad weather, they look like they don't want to play football. That's what happens when you hang out down the South Beach. It's a beautiful life. I'm here to tell you that right now. I've been down there plenty of times. It's a beautiful life. But when you have to transition to someplace else that's a bit more uncomfortable to play football, it's an incredible challenge. And Miami just ain't up to it. And I think we all know that. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. That's just the way that I'm looking at it. Now that we do that, let's scour the AFC for a second. For all intent and purposes, at 8-6 with Baltimore at 7-7 and 7-7 and having already lost a game to the Pittsburgh Steelers just a couple of weeks ago, the Steelers are the strong favorites to win the AFC North. My point to everybody else is that we all know that's not going to be good enough. We all know what's truly being held against Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's the fact that you haven't won a playoff game since 2016. So I'm trying to look at a scenario at which the Steelers will end up actually winning a playoff game. Because I'm at the point in time where even as a Steelers fan, I don't even care if they make the playoffs. You're just going to lose once you get there. I want you to make some noise. I don't want to see stats like you're 0-6 since 2016 in the playoffs. I don't want to see stats like you've been down by at least 21 points in every single game. I don't want to see stats like you've been outscored in the first quarter 73-0 in those six playoff games. I don't want that problem. I'd rather you not go. That's how I feel about it. That's how I feel about it. Mike Tomlin shouldn't feel that way about it. Aaron Rodgers shouldn't feel that way about it. Jalen Warren shouldn't feel that way about it. DK Metcalf shouldn't feel that way about it. And the Steelers won a game last night without TJ Watt, who had the lung issue and had to sit out for the game. All right, good. But when is it going to be a point where somebody's going to win a playoff game? Steelers fans have a right to feel it. They have a right to ask those questions and feel the way they want to feel. They have a right to do that. They really, really do. And for me personally, that's how I look at it. And I think everybody else should as well. Because I know Aaron Rodgers had a lot to say. Looking forward to winning the AFC North. You heard him, and in case you didn't, Sean, play that sound for me from Aaron Rodgers.
We have some guys who are cast off, some guys who, you know, people didn't really want anymore. We had some hired guns as well. But I think we can, after tonight, you know, they won four straight games. They had a lot to play for. Hopefully the belief is starting to pick up because it's tough to play in the cold weather. And if we can take care of business, then we're going to be hosting the game right here.
There you go. So the goal is to get to the playoffs and to host the game in Pittsburgh because those frigid conditions ain't meant for everybody, which means somebody like a Los Angeles Chargers, that might be a problem for them. It ain't going to be a problem for New England. It ain't going to be a problem for Buffalo. It might be a problem for Jacksonville. But those are the four. Those are the two teams, rather, that you anticipate the Steelers could give some trouble to in Pittsburgh for a home game. It would be the Chargers or the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that's assuming Jacksonville loses its division. They're a game up on the Houston Texans, who I don't believe would have a problem going on the road in Pittsburgh and winning personally. So that's how I look at them. But right now, it's a lot to think about. It's a lot to be said. And I'm just wondering what they're going to do. By the way, getting back to Mike Tomlin, last week we played some sound from Big Ben Roethlisberger, who obviously quarterbacked the Pittsburgh Steelers to three Super Bowl appearances and two Super Bowl titles. So he has a lot to say, and obviously there's a strong level of credibility that comes with anything that he has to say. And he spoke up because he was talking about how Mike Tomlin might need to go elsewhere, might need to depart. If I remember correctly, he might have even brought up Penn State. But now listen to Big Ben Roethlisberger on his comments about Mike Tomlin and his future with the Steelers. Listen to what he has to say now.
Just because I said that, you know, there's a time for like maybe some new thing, that's just saying that I think, you know, Coach Tomlin, if he wants to move on, he has every right to want to move on. It's not they should. It's up to him, you know, and he's earned that right and that, you know, if he wants to go do something else, he should, and we should honor him when that time comes, whenever that is. Maybe he wants to coach you for another 10 years. That's fine, too.
Oh, man. Here's the deal. We love Mike Tomlin. We love his candor. He's the king of the press conferences. And he's a coach that has ensured that he's never coached a team to a losing record. This says a lot. But middle of the road in sports is usually more of a detriment. Because you're never good enough to truly compete. And you never suck enough to build through the draft. Because you don't have draft picks low enough. That's problematic for Mike Tomlin. And we need to be able to say that. Steeler Nation has every right to be frustrated. Paid a hard-earned money, comes to the game, religiously supports the team, wants a championship, has six on their resume. And what they're saying is, we know championship football and we know when we don't see it. Now, the Steelers want you to believe that they go out there and they beat a team like the Miami Dolphins and that should shut people up. Not really. Why should it? Beating Baltimore, that mattered. No question. But beating some other teams? Like, for example, when the Philadelphia Eagles went out there and they beat up on the Raiders this weekend. Are we supposed to give the Eagles a cookie? The Raiders suck. We all know it. Things are so bad in Vegas. Folks are begging them to live by the credo. It's Sin City. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. We don't want to know what the hell is going on in Vegas. Not with the Raiders. Because they're horrible. Plain and simple. No other way around it. But nevertheless, people are going to talk and they're going to act like victories over subpar teams mean a lot. They don't. Because that's not who you're going to face. If you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're going to face New England. Most people ain't going to pick you. You're going to play Buffalo and Josh Allen. Most people ain't going to pick you. You're going to play the Denver Broncos. Most people ain't going to pick you. You're going to play the Houston Texans. Most people ain't going to pick you. It's just a fact. 888-MAD-DOG-6, that's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let's go to Juan in Vegas. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Juan?
Stephen A., how you doing?
I'm all right. Hey, thank you for calling. What's up?
Thank you. I got a thing for your NBA All-Star game and how to get the players more invested in the game. Jump off topic a little bit. I'm sorry. I was thinking, like, how do you get these guys who don't care to care? Well, if you give them a reason, like, hey, the playoffs is like whatever team has the best records, they get the home court advantage through the playoffs. But when you get to the finals, the winner of the All-Star game would have home court advantage. What do you think about that? I'll let you go.
Hell no. I think that's a terrible idea. I think that's a terrible idea. You know, that's a collection of individuals coming together for an All-Star weekend. That is not the same as, you know, a team itself playing as one in unison with one another. To me, home court advantage should be decided. There should be no divisions. Get rid of all the divisions, and everything should be ranked according to seedings. You know, 1 through 15 or so in each conference. That's what it should be. Plain and simple. I can't knock it for being any other way. I can't knock people for thinking what they're thinking, but that's how I feel about it. Me personally. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. Boy Blue in Memphis. You're live with Stephen A. What's up?
Going on, Boy Blue. I've been looking for you, Stephen A. What's going on?
I'm good, man. Thank you for calling. What's up?
That's good. I saw your Stephen A's list, and I didn't agree with it this morning at all. Just didn't agree with it. Okay. Now, you had the Rams, Broncos, Seahawks, Jaguars, and Texans. Not it. Yep. I'm giving you a B- on that.
Okay. Yeah. Why?
I would take the Rams, Broncos, Bills, who came back from a 21-point deficit over the Patriots in Foxborough. Come on, man. Then the Seahawks, really? Seahawks, Sam Darnold.
Seahawks defense been real all year long. Seahawks defense been real all year. I'm not going to argue about that. What I would say to you about this is the Bills. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were lamenting the state of the Bills. And then they came back and they won that big time victory against the New England Patriots. I give them credit for that. But right. prior to that, we were wondering about them.
Okay.
And remember, the list is fluid.
The list is fluid. I do 100% agree.
It's not permanent. It's not permanent. It's just this week. I had other people saying that the Chicago Bears should have been in my top five. Then you got callers calling me yesterday talking about Jacksonville. And then you got others saying, why Jacksonville? Even though they split with the Texans this year. Because you're looking at the quality of competition and you're wondering who the hell these teams beat.
Okay. I'm with you on that. I'm going to give you the Texans at number five. I'm going to give you that because that stud defense with D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud, my boy from Ohio State, too. Yep. Come on now. And Nico Collins. Yep. I'm going to give you that one. But the Seahawks, I disagree, Stephen A. I just disagree 100% on
Seahawks,
that.
Seahawks are definitely – you can say Seahawks are definitely top three, top four team in the, NBA, in the NFL right now.
I'm giving the Seahawks at four. I'm going to get you at Seahawks at four. But I got another question for you. I got another. So are you saying that the Ravens are out of the division? Or the AFC North with
Pittsburgh? No, they still got a chance. They still got a chance. The problem is that when you think about the Baltimore Ravens, right, you got to wonder what they're going to do over these last three games. Because you have, you do have the Steelers to close out the season. But prior to that, you play New England, and then you play Green Bay on the road, who are both right. who both have, you know, New England hasn't clinched because of their loss to Buffalo. You got the Green Bay Packers who lost to Denver, and now are looking up at the Chicago Bears. So they got to win, and that's the problem. So it's first of all, the Steelers already beat you. They already got one up on you. Plus, they're a game ahead of you in the standings. Plus, you got New England and Green Bay before you get to the Steelers in the season finale.
Exactly. But Lamar is phenomenal. And Lamar needs to stop turning over the ball every single game. I'm sick and tired of seeing it, Stephen A.
I got you. I got you. I got a commercial break. I got to go to, my man. I appreciate the call, though. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number of the club. It's 888-623-3646. Back with some other stuff to talk about. Particularly in the world of college football. You'll see where I'm going in a minute. Stick around. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio.